This is our day to shine, mine and yours, this day. So I want to take you to the Amen Clinic. I don't want you to miss the joy of this day. Because if I'm going to shine, I've got to have joy. That's like at the core of it all. And I don't mean I got to have circumstances turn out the way that I want them to. I don't mean I need to be delivered from deep pain or deep grief or deep sorrow. That will not happen. I mean, I don't know about you. I don't know how things are for you. I know for me, there is a kind of heaviness of spirit that comes to me, sometimes for seasons. And it's almost like it has a will. It's almost like it wants me. And there is this gravitational pull towards being just trapped in a sense of my own inadequacy or my own failures or overwhelmed by all that I think it is that I have to do, or how can I even in good conscience go to God when I let him down or turn the other way? So, and like, if I live in that, if I allow those thoughts to predominate in my mind, I will miss this day. I will miss God's presence in it. I will miss any kind of experience of grace or power or even repentance in my own life. I gotta have joy. That's the joy I want to talk about with you today. So I want to take you to the Amen Clinic. I'm outside today. If you're just listening to this, I'm down by the ocean. Somebody asked me a couple of days ago, when you're outside and I hear birds, are those actual birds or do you guys just pipe in artificial bird song? No, we don't pipe in bird song. So right now there are waves crashing that you might hear. Those are real waves. No waves or birds were harmed in the filming of this video because we're talking about joy. We're going to the Amen Clinic. These are remarkable words from the Apostle Paul. And he begins by saying in chapter 3, well, then my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Now you might remember in chapter 2, he gives another kind of instruction that we often think is going in the opposite direction. What he says in chapter 2 is, let this mindset be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who wasn't out for number one, didn't consider equality with God to be grounds for grasping. Precisely because he was God, he became a servant. He emptied himself. He poured himself out, took on the very nature of a slave. He humbled himself. He didn't raise himself up. He became obedient, didn't say, how can I get my will done? Obedient to the point of death. No, that's not low enough. Even death on the cross. Be that way. And then rejoice. Now, you know, we think those are two very different mindsets to lead to different places. But of course, the truth is, it is only when I love other people, care about other people, give myself to other people, become attached to them so that their victories become like my victories. Instead of them being my rivals anymore, I'm cheering them on. I'm rejoicing when they win, and I'm weeping with them when they lose. That's where joy lies. That's why it says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame. It was his greatest gift of love, and he knew there was joy on the other side to it. It's all bundled up together. That's why for Paul, he had not changed in the subject when he says, let this mindset be in you. Be a servant, be a slave, humble to the point of death, death on a, and then rejoice because you're part of a great kingdom where death cannot win. Rejoice in the Lord. We'll come back to that. To keep writing this same command is never wearisome for me, and it is a safe course to follow for you. Say a little bit about both of those words. Why is it not wearisome for Paul to over and over again? We'll see in this letter to the church at Philippi, he talks about joy in the first chapter, in the 18th verse, chapter 2, verse 17, 2, verse 18, 2, verse 28, chapter 3 here, chapter 4, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 10. In all of his letters, none of them is woven through, loaded with references and commands to joy like this church at Philippi. Paul says, you might think I'd be tired of it, but I'm not. And I'll tell you why, I think. You might remember where Paul is. He's in prison. I might be tempted not to be too joyful there. He's in chains. He's facing death and ultimately is going to give his life. And I would be tempted towards self-pity. or doubt or wondering, have I done something wrong or is God not keeping his promises? There's something about telling somebody else, you have reason to be joyful. God loves you. Oh gosh, my friend, you, right wherever you are, you can bring joy to other people in your life this day. And in fact, it's one of the greatest gifts that you can give when you're a little kid and mom or dad come home and they're alive and filled with joy. You can do that. When I tell you that, it reminds me, oh yeah, it's okay for me to be joyful today, even though I know that I'm inadequate and that I failed God and let people down and I have failed as a dad and in my work. And in every, even though all those things are true, precisely there, God meets me and God loves me and God's grace is there for me. It is not a worrisome thing for me to say to you, rejoice, because when I do that, then I remember to rejoice. And then Paul says, it's a safe thing for you also. Why is that? Dallas Willard writes about this in his wonderful book, Spirit of the Disciplines, one of the best pages on there. He talks about how, let me get the sentence right. Failure to attain a deeply satisfying life always has the effect of making sinful actions seem good. Our success in overcoming temptation will be easier if we are basically happy in our lives. Are you basically happy in your life? I asked Dallas one time when he said, you know, people end up in a ditch, pastors or just any folks. 100% of the time they end up in a ditch, it will be because they were not experiencing basic joy with God from one moment to the next in the ordinary course of their life. So when Paul is telling the Philippians to live in joy, to practice joy, to allow the thoughts that are in their mind lead them to gratitude towards God and the joyful coexistence and partnership and friendship with him, he's giving them the safe conduct. Now, the particular distinction that I want to make here is where Paul talks about not joy in general, but rejoice in the Lord. That's not some pious thing. It's not a churchy thing. That doesn't mean you only can do that if you sing some old song that you don't really, really like. I think of it as resurrection joy. You know, after Jesus died and they hit the absolute bottom and everything looked awful, imagine for a moment what it was like when they went to the tomb and it was empty and the grave had been defeated and death was unplugged and they knew that Jesus wins. And then all of a sudden, everything that happened before was robbed of its ability to be toxic and poison them. And I imagine them just laughing and laughing and laughing. They thought he was dead. They thought they killed him. Those Romans thought they sealed up the stone. Peter, remember when we were in the garden and you took the sword and you were trying to hack off that soldier's head and all you could do is get his ear? Just uproarious laughter. I need joy so much. I need people of resurrection joy. I just talked to my friend Kevin in Oklahoma and heavy stuff going on. I don't know why over the years, one of his signature phrases to me is, John, I am not troubled at all by the challenges that you are facing. And we were talking about some of those and he said that again today and he just started to laugh. And it was like therapy. It was like medicine. I would like, that's resurrection joy. And it doesn't exist, you know, only when there's no problems. The laughter was harder because of the problems and because of the pain. It was like, I know. But in the fellowship of the withered hand, we follow the Lord of the empty tomb. And that brings us to the Amen Clinic. For you to be a person of joy in the midst of difficulties. There actually is a doctor. I'm not making this up. Daniel Amen. He's a psychiatrist. He had a deal one day with four folks who had attempted suicide, two runaways, two people that hated their spouses. He went home and his house was infested with ants. And what came to him was a little acronym. People are troubled by automatic negative thoughts, ants. Our house where we live is built on one of the great underworld empires of ants. And at this moment, they are profuse for the last couple of days. I kept leaving stuff out and the ants would be all over them. And Nancy would remind me of that this morning. I got up and someone had left out an avocado and that someone was not me. And there were 4 billion ants that were there. They were mean and they did not want to go away. Paul goes on here when he's talking about rejoicing to say, beware, watch out for, be attentive to. And we'll get into more of that specifically tomorrow, what he's addressing there. But what I want to do today and invite you to do is be aware in my mind, in your mind, as we go to the Amen Clinic, of those ants, automatic negative thoughts that come to me. Somebody else is more successful than me. I guess I'm a failure. I did something nice for this person. They should have responded with this level of gratitude, and they did not. So I think I'll stew about that for a while. I don't have enough time. There's too much to do. I'm never going to get it all done. I feel oppressed. No. Beware, beware, beware. Watch out. When those little thoughts come, name them. Write them down. If there's anxiety, welcome that and welcome God into it. Okay, God. Here it is. Here it is. Now I live in light of the resurrection. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, I think it is. No matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ Jesus. When that stone got rolled away and that body raised out of the grave, all those promises were yes. And so we add our amen. And amen is like yes on steroids to the glory of God. That's the Amen Clinic. We come into the presence of the resurrection and resurrection laughter. And the promise of God is that my inadequacy, my sin, my failure does not get the last word. It's not wearisome for me to tell you. Rejoice, you will shine. Rejoice in the Lord. Let's get to it. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us here at Become New. I'm Tim, part of the team. If you haven't yet already, you might want to subscribe to our channel so you don't miss any future episodes from John. Joy. I had a thought for you today when I was listening to that episode. I was reminded of a season in my life, in my marriage, when things were really, really hard and it felt hard to access joy. And Brittany and I would actually pray for each other. I pray that God gives you access to His joy today, because it felt like we couldn't even find our own. And He did, one day at a time. And so that's my prayer for you today, that God would grant you access to His joy. We love you. We're glad that you're here. Check out all of our other resources and things available at becomenew.com, including the daily email that goes with each episode. Or you could sign up to receive text reminders whenever we drop a new video. You can just text the word BECOME to our cell number. It's in the information below. Thanks for joining us. We love you. We'll see you next time.